a place in your life today where you're saying to yourself, not out loud, but you're saying to yourself, how am I supposed to do that when all I have is this? How am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to raise these kids when I don't even understand the world that they're living in? How am I supposed to raise a family when I came from a broken family? How am I supposed to move up in my job so that I can provide for my future when I don't even have the basic education that was required to be in the position I'm in now, let alone the one that's ahead of me? How do I do this? How do I do that? And all I have is this. Now, fortunately, there is a principle that you and I can lean on, should we choose to. And I want you to take this with you into every situation in your life where you're saying, how am I supposed to do that? All right, preacher, you're telling me to forgive and move forward and move and be healed and be sanctified and be free and live for Jesus and do these things and be patient and be kind and be humble. And I hear you. How am I supposed to do that when all I have is this? Because everything you're up here talking about, I don't have much of a template for. And every time I try to do it, my old template inserts itself in the place of my good intentions. So my template is overriding my intentions every time you say amen after one of these sermons. How am I supposed to do that? Sounds good. Praise him in the midnight hour. How am I supposed to do that? And here's the principle. If you're supposed to do it, you will have God's support for it. Oh, preach for that! Preach the word to me! If you're supposed to do it, you will have God's support for it. Now, I know it doesn't feel like that right now, because sometimes when God is beginning to do something in your life, you do not see his support. So I went all the way back to the beginning of the whole Bible in Genesis 1:1. And I figured since we're talking about the source, we should go to the source and see what the source did to create every situation that we see. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. That's the source. That's why I can move forward into the next season of my life, because in the beginning, God. What did he do? Created the heavens and the earth. And I love this part. It says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Stay right there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There was no light yet, but there was still Spirit. There was darkness, no light, but there was still Spirit. There was no form yet. That means it hadn't taken shape yet. But even before the earth took shape, there was still Spirit. There are some things in your life that have not taken shape yet. There are some things in your life that are formless and empty and dark and dreary. Just because there's no light yet doesn't mean there's no Spirit yet. Just because there's no apparent solution yet doesn't mean God isn't on the scene yet. For the Bible says that God hovered over something that seemed empty. But it's not just that the Spirit was there. Now put up verse 3. Because it was dark and because it was formless and because there was no light and because there was no shape, the Bible says that God said. Everybody say God said.
God said.
If you go all the way back to the very beginning, past the founding fathers of the United States of America, past Lin-Manuel Miranda, past the time you were born, past the time you were addicted, past the time you got a divorce, past the time you got the job, past the time you lost a child in the custody battle. If you go all the way back past that, there are two things that were always there: the Spirit of God and the Word of God. God hovered and he spoke. And God said, verse 3, put it back up, let there be light. And there was light because God said it. Everything we see started here with the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the spoken Word of God. And now you understand what I mean when I say that if you're supposed to do it, you will have God's support for it. Here are our disciples sitting in a small room with a big task. How are we supposed to take the gospel to the ends of the earth? For one thing, we don't have a car, let alone a plane. How are we supposed to speak their language when we get there? But as he does so many times in our life, God had the answer on the way before they even formed the question to ask. Who is this for? God has already dispatched the answer. And there's no light yet, but he's already on the scene. And here's where it gets confusing. When we go to our scripture, at first it looks like maybe God isn't there. Look at this in Acts chapter 2. I don't always know why people shout about stuff in the Bible that they shout about. When you say the day of Pentecost came, that was a Jewish festival. It was called the Festival of Weeks. It was the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. And so you had to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And they would usually see about triple the population in the city. So every street was crowded and everybody's there. They're coming from all over the world, those who honor and fear God. And they're bringing their first fruits offering to say, thank you, Lord, for this harvest. We believe you for the next. Everything we have comes from your hand. And while they're celebrating the harvest, they're waiting on one. They are waiting for the Holy Spirit to be given so that they can receive the harvest of souls that would reach to the ends of the earth. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came. And everybody, when you read that, they always, like if you read it in a church, everybody will always shout when you say suddenly, and they will shout about the sound of a violent wind. But let's take ourselves out of just the fact that this sounds exciting. What is a violent wind? This is called a storm. If you subtract all of the nice, oh, the sound, suddenly a sound of a violent wind, woo, the sound of a violent wind. That's not something that we usually shout about. That's something that we usually close the shutters and try to survive. And then look at the next thing that happened. It said that the violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw, verse 3, what seemed to be tongues of fire. And you say tongues of fire and everybody will shout. And tongues of fire. Have you ever put your tongue on a stove? Have you ever even eaten a jalapeno pepper? Why would you shout about that? A fire will burn you. So now we shout about the storm and we shout about the fire, but let's be honest. If a wind is uncontrolled, it can kill you. A wind is a blessing if it's in the right amount and you have a sail. But a wind can also take you off course. A wind can also create a hurricane. A wind can also knock you on your back. A wind can destroy. So can a fire. A fire can sweep through everything that you love. A fire can reduce to rubbish an entire village, an entire city. We've seen this happen in our time. So why are we shouting about a storm? Why are we shouting about a fire? I'll show you why. This is why you came to church. We're not shouting about what the wind was. We're shouting about where it came from. Because the Bible says that it came from heaven. So one thing I know about my life, it's not what I go through. It's where it came from that determines the result it will have in my life. I'm trying to say that the devil is not the source of every storm we go through. I'm trying to say that some fires that we walk through were not sent by the enemy to destroy us. They were sent by the Lord to refine us. So now I need to know a question. The storm in your emotions, the storm in your household, the storm that you're going through in your industry, the storm that you're going through as you sort these things out that are happening at this age of your life, where did it come from? Did it come from the enemy to destroy you? Or did it come from the Lord to develop you? Better question, does it really even matter? Because if God is the source, by the time the storm has to pass through his hand, the storm that was sent to destroy you, I'll know why I'm screaming the whole sermon. I'm just passionate about what I say because I hear the sound and it sounds like a storm, but it came from the Lord and it will not destroy me. It will only develop me.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.